The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 23, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 25th, 2009, in Govinda Valley, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter Number 5, Text Number 23. But first of all, I would like to welcome everyone to the Japa Govinda Valley Japa Meditation Retreat. You're in for a real treat at the retreat. This the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself. So in this age of Kali, this is the powerful means of connecting with Krishna. Let's face it, we're all experiencing so many anxieties here in this material existence. But it is simply due to misidentification with the body and the mind. But through associating with Krishna's holy name, we reawaken our original enlightened consciousness, our original divine consciousness. In other words, when the water is in the sky, it's pure distilled water, see? But when it falls down on the earth, it becomes muddy, mixing with the earth. So our original pure enlightened consciousness, which is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, is at the present time experiencing temporality, illusion, and misery, isn't it? Due to misidentification with matter. So that, just like you can take a water purifier, you see, you can take that dirty water, you can run it through the water purification system, and it becomes purified water again, you see. So this chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is the purification system for the consciousness. If you can run your consciousness through the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, following the proper instructions from the acharyas, the great acharyas, the result will be you will re-enter your original pure state of consciousness, which is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So, there's nothing more important, actually, than what we're doing this weekend, which is learning how to become expert in chanting Hare Krishna. There's nothing more important. So, today, there's a very nice verse. We will now... Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ayam tatashastati palanachana satvang jusha nasya bhavaya dehinam. Tasmad vrajama sharanang jagad gurum svanang sana dhashyati sangshara priyaha. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Now is the time to invoke the mode of goodness of the living entities who have accepted material bodies. The mode of goodness is meant to establish the Supreme Lord's rule, which will maintain the existence of the creation. Therefore, this is the opportune moment to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because He is naturally very kind and dear to the demigods, He will certainly bestow good fortune upon us. Purport. The material world is conducted by the three modes of material nature, namely sattva-gun, Rajagun and Tamagun. By Rajagun, everything material is created. By Sattvagun, everything material is maintained properly And by tamagun, when the creation is improperly situated, everything is destroyed. From this verse, we can understand the situation of Kali Yuga through which we are now passing. And just before the beginning of Kali Yuga, or in other words, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, Lord Sri Krishna appeared and left his instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita, in which he asked all living entities to surrender unto him. Since the beginning of Kali Yuga, however, people have practically been unable to surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, and therefore, after some 5,000 years, Krishna came again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to teach the entire world how to surrender unto him, unto Sri Krishna, and thus be purified. Surrendering under the lotus feet of Krishna means achieving complete purification. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarvadharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mukshya shami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Thus, as soon as one surrenders under the lotus feet of Krishna, one certainly becomes free from all contamination. Kali Yuga is full of contamination. This is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam 12:351. Kaler dosho nidhirajan asti eko mahan gunaha. Kirtanandeva krishnasya mukta sangha parang vrajat. This age of Kali is full of unlimited faults. Indeed, it is just like an ocean of faults. Dosha nidhi. But there is one chance, one opportunity. Kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha parang vrajat. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, one can be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga and in his original spiritual body can return home back to Godhead. This is the opportunity of Kali Yuga. When Krishna appeared, he gave his orders. And when Krishna himself appeared as a devotee, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed us the path by which to cross the ocean of Kali Yuga. That is the path of the Hare Krishna movement. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he ushered in the era for the Sankirtan movement. It is also said that for 10,000 years, this era will continue. This means that simply by accepting the Sankirtan movement and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the fallen souls of this Kali Yuga will be delivered. After the battle of Kurukshetra, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Kali Yuga continues for 432,000 years, of which only 5,000 years have passed. Thus, there is still a balance of 427,000 years. Simple mathematics. Of these 427,000 years, the 10,000 years of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago provide the opportunity for the fallen souls of Kali Yuga to take to the Krishna consciousness movement, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and thus be delivered from the clutches of material existence and return home back to Godhead. Chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is potent always, but is especially potent in this age of Kali. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, while instructing Maharaj Parikshit, stressed this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Kalera dosha nidhei rajan asti hyeko mahan gunaha kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha parang vraja. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. It is that by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Bhagavatam 12:351. Those who have accepted the task of spreading the Hare Krishna Mahamantra in full Krishna consciousness should take this opportunity to deliver people very easily from the clutches of material existence. Our duty, therefore, is to follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world very sincerely. This is the best welfare activity for the peace and prosperity of human society. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement consists of spreading Krishna Sankirtan. Parang Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Why is it so glorious? This has also been explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaito Darpanamarajanam. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one's heart is cleansed. The whole difficulty is that in this age of Kali, there is no sattva guna and no clearance of the heart, and therefore people are making the mistake of identifying with their bodies. Even the big philosophers and scientists with whom we deal are practically all under the impression that they are their bodies. The other day we were discussing a prominent philosopher, Thomas Huxley, who was so proud of being an Englishman. This means that he was in the bodily conception of life. Everywhere we find this same misunderstanding. As soon as one is in the bodily conception of life, one is nothing but an animal, like a cat or a dog. So, sa eva gokaraha, Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Thus, the most dangerous of the dirty things within our heart is this misidentification of the body as the self. Under the influence of this misunderstanding, one thinks, I am this body, I am an Englishman, I'm an Indian, I'm an American, I'm a Hindu, I'm a Muslim. This misconception is the strongest impediment and it must be removed. That is the instruction of Bhagavad Gita and of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Indeed, Bhagavad Gita begins with this instruction. Dehi no smin yata dehi kumaram jovanam jara. Tata dehantara praptir didastratra namuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth and to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Although the soul is within the body, nevertheless, because of misunderstanding and animal propensities, one accepts the body as the self. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Chaito Darpanam Arjunam. To cleanse the core of the heart which is full of misunderstanding is possible only through Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement should very seriously take this opportunity to be kind to the fallen souls by delivering them from the misunderstanding of materialistic life. One cannot be happy in any way within this material world, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 8.16, Abhramabhuvanaloka punaravarti narjana. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. Therefore, not to speak of going to the moon, even if one is promoted to the highest planetary system, Brahma Loka, there cannot be any happiness in this material world. If one actually wants happiness, one must go to the spiritual world. The material world is characterized by a struggle for existence, and survival of the fittest is a well-known principle. But the poor souls of this material world do not know what is survival and who is fit. Survival does not mean that one should die. Survival means that one should not die, but should enjoy an everlastingly blissful life of knowledge. This is survival. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to make every person fit for survival. Indeed, it is meant to stop the struggle for existence. The Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita give definite directions on how to stop the struggle for existence and how to survive in eternal life. The Sankirtan movement, therefore, is a great opportunity simply by hearing Bhagavad Gita and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one becomes completely purified. Thus, the struggle for existence ceases, and one goes back home, back to Godhead. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnava Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Ladita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha.
Survival. Krishna consciousness means survival. You understand? It's like you're on the Titanic. Lifeboat means survival. If you don't get a slot in one of the lifeboats, you're finished. Even if you had a life jacket on, the water was so cold. You see, iceberg water, you understand how cold it was. Even if you had a life jacket, you still would be killed by the cold. After a few minutes in the water, you see. So on a Titanic ship, survival means lifeboat. That's it. If you get a slot in the lifeboat, you're covered. Otherwise, you're finished. You see. So, there's a very nice lifeboat by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You see. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If you have your position, if you've been able to take shelter of those holy names, if you have learned the art of how to take shelter of those holy names, you're fine, you're okay. You will survive. And if you don't, you're finished. Death will come, you'll be wiped out, you'll go down to the lower species. Because human life is meant to be utilized for qualifying oneself for going back to Godhead. If one doesn't make any endeavor to go back to Godhead, simply utilizes the human life for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, then they are spoiling their life. They're showing, I prefer sense gratification to self-realization. So Krishna says, well, I don't want to force you to be self-realized. You prefer to be an animal? Okay. Take it. Dog, hog, camel ass, etc. So, the intelligent person, he takes advantage of this wonderful mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And he chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Just consider, what is this Hare Krishna Mahamantra? Krishna is absolute. That means Krishna and his name are one and the same. So when we are connecting with Krishna, It's an amazing experience. If we actually do it right, it's an amazing experience. A very amazing experience.
Sometimes I say that one should absorb oneself, absorb one's consciousness in the sound vibration of the name. And people will laugh. What do you mean, absorb my consciousness? I say, well, you should go deeply into the name. They say, what do you mean? Like it's incomprehensible to go deep within the name or to be deeply absorbed in the name. But as I've been pointing out repeatedly lately, don't we all have the experience of being absorbed in a movie? Did you ever go to a movie that you were absorbed in? And you were so absorbed that it seemed like reality. And when the thing came to an end and the lights came on, it seemed unreal. I thought I was in Fiji. I thought I was here. I thought I was there. But now here I am in Sydney. But the movie became so real that it seemed more real than that was outside of the movie. Sometimes that happens if one's deeply absorbed in some movie. It's cinema. You see, cinema consciousness. I'm not advocating to go to the movies. This is an example. Because we're going to give you a much better movie that you can watch 24 hours a day right here in this cinema theater of your own heart. We're going to give you a much better movie. But it's an example. So, if one can absorb, just like you absorb yourself in a movie, if you can absorb yourself in this sound vibration, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, you can get so deeply absorbed that just like in that movie, that becomes the reality. And anything outside of the movie, it's not the reality. So you can get so deeply absorbed in that vibration that you understand this is the real reality. This is the spiritual existence. And the material nature, that's just some cinema going on out there. This is the reality. You see? You may say, well, how could you do that? I mean, it's just a sound vibration. But no, this is not an ordinary sound vibration. This is God Himself, the source of all existence. In other words, you may say, but I find Australia to be more of a reality than the Holy Name. But wait a minute. Aham sravasya prabhavos matak sarvam pravartate. Where does Australia come from? It comes from Krishna. It's emanating from Krishna. And Krishna and His name are the same. That means Australia is emanating from the name of Krishna, actually. Since the name and Krishna are absolutely one and the same thing, you can't differentiate between the name and the person. The name and the person are absolutely the same. So that means the sound vibration, Krishna, is the origin of this country called Australia. And every other country, every other planet, everything that exists is all emanating from Krishna, who is not his. He is his name. So anything you would want to experience or could experience, it's all there in the name. Everything exists in Krishna's name. Everything. So if you connect with Krishna's name, you connect with everything. You don't become disconnected from anything except the illusion of thinking that you're the center of existence, which is the cause of our anxiety, our suffering. I'm thinking I'm the center of existence, everything has to be for my pleasure. That is our cause of anxiety. Why? Because it is criminal. If I try to enjoy your property, I'm called criminal, you see. Someone wants to enjoy your wife or your husband, they are called an adulterer. Somebody wants to enjoy your car, they are called a thief. Or enjoy your money. So if we try to enjoy that which is meant to be enjoyed by someone else, we are criminals, and therefore criminal is always an anxiety. Prabhupada told one time he was walking through Calcutta with one
friend who was a police constable. Just walking through the marketplace. And every few minutes, somebody would just take off running, like a scared rabbit. And the prophet, what is this? He said, oh, those are thieves. They thought that I was coming to arrest them, so they have taken off running. Actually, he was just walking through the market. He wasn't looking for any thieves at the time. But as soon as a thief saw police, oh, got to get out of here, you see. So if I'm in a criminal mentality of trying to myself be the center of existence, then I have to always be in anxiety. No, deep down within, I'm violating the laws, and sooner or later I'm going to get caught, so I have to be careful. But actually, we cannot avoid being caught, but the police you may evade, you see. But this police, you cannot, the higher authorities of the universe who are seeing everything, who are under whose direction, you see, those authorities under whose direction the modes of nature, you see, there are higher level authorities who can see everything we're doing. And we cannot hide. Therefore, the intelligent person, instead of acting out of harmony with the complete whole personality of Godhead, he learns the art of how to act in harmony with that complete whole supreme personality of Godhead. In this way, his mind becomes peaceful because he's given up his criminal mentality. He knows he's a law-abiding citizen now and he's protected by the supreme state of Krishna. All I have to do is follow the laws. And those are very clearly explained, Bhagavad Gita. If we simply follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita sincerely, even if we're not qualified, very highly qualified, even if we're disqualified in so many ways, if we can simply agree to follow the instructions of the Bhagavad Gita, then everything will become very auspicious in our life. Every day will be a glorious adventure in expanding our consciousness a little more, a little more, a little more every day, you see. Even if you can just advance 1 inch every day. As Prabhupada said, drops of water wear away the stone. You may say, my false ego is just too thick, it's too tough. And what a little chanting will do, why even bother? But no. If drops of water can wear away the stone, and just let that Hare Krishna mantra continually drip on your stone-like heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it will wear away the lust, the anger, the greed, the madness, the illusion, everything bad will be worn away in due course of time. We just have to stay connected every day on a regular daily basis. This is why our initiates take a vow to chant at least 16 rounds daily on the Japa Mala beads. Because plugging into this vow protects them. This means no matter what else may happen in that day, because they've chanted 16 rounds, they are moving forward in Krishna consciousness. There may be a good day, it may be a bad day, it may be a beautiful day, it may be an ugly day, whatever it may be. If they keep that 16 rounds going every day, they're moving forward. There's no reason why every day should not be a step forward in Krishna consciousness. Every day we can advance. In the material world, you can't do that. Sometimes you go up, sometimes you go down. You see, the material world is always up and down, up and down. Economic boom, economic recession, healthy, sick. So many dualities were bounced around like the waves of the material ocean, being bounced on the waves, buffeted on the waves, getting seasick on these waves, you see. But if you can take shelter of Krishna's names, and then you have a constant companion, Krishna himself is present in the form of his name, you have the companionship of God himself, your supreme benefactor, present with you at every moment, giving you the opportunity to come closer and closer to him.
So when our organizers, actually Adi Purusha Prabhu, when he suggested the japa meditation as the theme of the retreat, I immediately thought, yes, this is a very good idea. Because this is the most important thing we do every day, is chant our japa, you see. How you chant your japa will make you or break you. You see, if our chanting is offensive, then eventually you'll go away, we'll stop chanting, because we won't get the taste. But if we can learn how to chant and avoid the offenses, and we'll be going to have a special session just to look at the offenses in great detail, so everybody can know how to avoid all of them, you know, 24 hours a day. We'll give you that information. So, if one can chant in a very nice mood, you see, jolly, happy spirit. Prabhupada said, chant and be happy. So japa should not be like some drudgery, oh, I got to get my rounds done. What a hassle. I'd rather just sleep or eat. Sometimes the mind, the wicked mind, will say, oh, well, this is such a botheration, but I have to do it because it's my duty. The mind is rascal, you see. That happens sometimes. And the Ifa devotees think, oh, I don't feel like chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, I'd just rather sleep and eat. You know, listen to some music. I can listen to a kirtan, but there's some music there. But there's no music. It's just the sound vibration. Sometimes they say, can't I sing my rounds? You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. It would take too long to chant 16 rounds. Of course you could, but we don't have time in our day to, you know, sing our japa, you know. Do, you know, have a different tune, 16 different tunes, one for each round, you know. We have to learn that the name itself has unlimited nectar, you see, without anything else. You don't need any tune, you don't need, you know, you don't need anything else. You don't need any dancing girls. I mean, it's all there in the name, you know. You get everything in the name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Rupa Goswami has very nicely explained this. This is, Prabhupada very much liked this verse. In fact, as I mentioned the other day, he told George Harrison to make a song out of it, which George didn't do as far as I know. But it's a wonderful, wonderful verse. Antunde tandavani riting vitanute tundavali lamdiye karna krodha kadambani gatayate kunarbha devyas priham cheta prangana sangani vijayate sravendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyan viramitai krishna iti varnadvai. I do not, Rupa Goswami is saying, I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When I chant these names, they appear to dance within my mouth. And I then desire to have many, many mouths. And when the holy name enters within the holes of my ears, I desire to have many, many millions and millions of ears. And when that holy name dances in the courtyard of my heart, it conquers all the activities of my mind, and my senses become inert, stunned with wonder. You see, this is the power of the name, you see. You may wonder, what does Rupa Goswami mean? I mean, many mouths, many ears. What is he talking about anyway? I'll give you an example to help you understand. Okay, today is your birthday. Happy birthday to you. Now, we made a special feast just for you to enjoy, you see. And you're in your room over there, you know. Now we're going to bring you into the temple room. Now, it's a temple room today because Vaidhamana is here. Not the yoga hall. This is the yoga studio. This is the temple room. We will bring you into the temple room for your, and show you your feast. We made a feast for you. And you walk into this room, and there's, you know, 50 different types of cake, 20, you know, 78 different types of pakoras, 85 different chutneys, 37 different types of sabjis. There's, you know, there's about 50 different gallons of homemade ice cream, 50 varieties of ice cream, and it's just piled all the way to the ceiling, and we give you a spoon and say, go for it. Happy birthday, Prabhu. You say, well, I appreciate it, but maybe somebody could help me honor all of this prasadam. You see, because if I only had millions of stomachs and millions of mouths, then I could honor all of this prasadam you've made for me. All these 50 different types of ice creams, and you know, I could, you know what I mean? You would have to have more. You would feel insufficient having one mouth and one stomach. You understand? I just completely, you know, unqualified to accept this gift with my one little stomach and my one little mouth. So in this way, Rupa Goswami is feeling this one mouth and this one set of ears. There's too much nectar. I can't get all of this nectar with one mouth and two ears. You see, he's actually frustrated. He's expecting his frustration that I want to get more of a nectar, but I only got one mouth and two ears. I just don't have enough facility to get that nectar. You see. So that's, we can understand this verse in that way. You see. He's feeling insufficient with his one little mouth and two little ears. You see. Because there's just so much nectar in the name. You can't even imagine how much nectar there is. And now I'm just getting a little insignificant, infinitesimal, teeny-weeny little sample of it. But I really want to get more of it, but my one mouth and two ears just doesn't cut it. It's just not enough facility to get the nectar out of the name, you see. So that's the meaning of this verse. So we have a few minutes left for questions. Yeah. Taste, yeah.
So, can you tell us how
to avoid the offense? Yeah. She has asked the most important question. Thank you very much. How to avoid the 10 offenses? Well, actually, we'll go into more detail later, but we'll give a summary sketch now. How to avoid the 10 offenses? You have to look at each one of them and see what it is. That's the first thing. The first thing to avoid the 10 offenses is know what they are. It's like if you're a newcomer here in Australia, you get a driver's license. Well, you have to make sure you don't disobey any of the traffic laws. Now, here's the keys. Well, wait a minute. What are the traffic laws? What do these signs mean? You see? You have to have some preliminary knowledge. Otherwise, you can get out there and what do they call them, demerits? You get demerited out of your license before you can drive from here to Sydney if you don't know what the laws are, you see. So, the first thing is one has to know what are the 10 offenses. Clearly understand what they are, what each of them are. And then you can actually go about avoiding them. The trick is find out what is the positive thing and do that. Just like the first offense is to blaspheme or criticize those devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord all over the world. Now someone may think, okay, now I know I have to avoid offenses, so I'll just go off into the woods somewhere and then I'll never come back, and I'll just, that way I won't offend any devotees. I'll just avoid their association completely. Sometimes some devotees have that tendency, hermit tendency. They want to just go hide somewhere, you see. But we have been instructed to live in the society of devotees, to regularly associate with devotees. So the third offense is disobey the order of the spiritual master. So we cannot avoid, therefore, the first offense by giving up the association of Vaishnavas, because in that way we violate the third offense. So the only way then, since we are instructed to associate with devotees, and that is indeed helpful for us, man is a social animal. If we don't associate with devotees, we'll take shelter of non-devotee association. And if we can't find any non-devotees who want to associate with us, well, you know what we'll do? We'll get a dog. We'll pat him on the head every night when we come home from work, and he'll lick our face, and we'll feel very good. Fido loves me. You see? Everyone wants some relationship. So if we don't have a relationship with devotees, we will go for non-devotee, even dog, cat, goldfish, parakeet, something. Everybody wants some kind of association. So, how do we avoid offending the Vaishnavas? That is, we have to always respect the Vaishnavas. Even we may disagree with them, we have to, on this point or that point, we have to see the good of that person. Well, at least he's chanting Hare Krishna, he's bowing down to Krishna. He accepts that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may disagree on many points, but at least we both agree that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How many people accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? It's a very small percentage of the world population. So anybody who agrees that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're a special person. Even if they're not, it's like we have people who are outside of ISKCON also who criticize ISKCON, but we respect them. At least they accept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and so we respect them for that. You see? So, find some way that you can feel genuine respect and appreciation for every single devotee. That's the way to avoid the offense. Find some way to respect them and appreciate them. So that's an example of how to avoid the first offense. And then there's the other. Then we'll go into more detail. We have 9 more offenses to talk about. We'll save that for that session. But the point is, you have to find, it's called being proactive instead of reactive. You have to put yourself into that mindset, into that sort of action and speech mode, which is the opposite of the offense. You can't just be inactive like the jnanis and the yogis. They want to become inactive within karma chakra. You can't become just inactive. You have to find a way how to do positive activities which negate the offense, which is just the opposite of the offense. So that's the key, and we'll go into more detail in that session of how to, what is the flip of each offense, what is the flip side of each offense, how to situate myself on the flip side of each offense. In that way I'm safe. So any other questions? Got 10 minutes left. Yes. If one, the process of Krishna consciousness itself is the atonement, one who's sincerely repentant for whatever offenses he has committed can quickly go all the way to the highest perfection of Krishna Prem. It's not that, well, you know, I committed this offense, so it's hopeless for me, I might as well just jump off the bridge. No. Even if it doesn't matter how much, any offense we may have committed, if we are serious to become the pure devotee of Krishna, to be the and to have the proper respectful attitude towards Vaishnavas, which is essential for Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter what I may have done. We stay it in the Yani Kani Cha Papani Brahmana Tada Kani Cha. Even if I committed the sin of murdering a Brahmana, you see, I can overcome that sin. That's, so there's no sin that's so great that it cannot be overcome by sincere, humble service to Krishna and Vaishnava. There's no sin. One can go all the way to the highest perfection very quickly if one is truly repents whatever wrong he may have done and wants to rectify his position. There's no bar, no one holds him back. Yes, everyone has full facility. In fact, the more we are fallen, as Narottam Das states in one of his songs, he says, "My dear Lord, I understand you are Patita Pavana. You are the friend of those who are very, very fallen. So, my dear Lord, if you look at all the living entities within the universe, you will see there is no living entity more sinful than me. Therefore," Did Narottam get all depressed and feel it was hopeless? He said, no. He was aggressive. It's called aggressive humility. He said, therefore, my claim for your mercy is first. I'm the first one in the line for your mercy because you are the friend of the most fallen, and that's me. I'm the most fallen person. So, I may have committed the biggest offenses I've ever been committed in the history of existence. It doesn't matter. If I sincerely repent and I beg for that mercy, you see, understanding I'm in the most fallen wretch, that feeling of fallenness will actually be my qualification to get the special mercy. To go all the way to Krishna Prem very quickly. Does that answer your question? Okay, we got a few more minutes. Any other question? Yes. No, once you finish your 16 rounds, you can chant without the beat. And as many as you want, 24 hours a day, but we should make sure we get at least 16 done chanting on the beat. You may say, but I'm so busy, I have so many things to do, can't I just, you know, chant while I'm washing the dishes and see how long it was, and, you know, but that's not see, trouble, you can chant while you're doing everything else, but that's not being fully meditative, if you understand what I mean. Chanting on the beads is to help us enter into a deep meditative trance. A deep state of meditative trance on the name, you see. To become enchanted by the name. Chanting means it is enchanting, you see. Etymologically, chanting means it is enchanting. It puts, something is enchanting, it puts you into a state of, a meditative state of consciousness. Enchanted, you see. So the chanting is meant to take you into a deep state, a deep meditative trance of absorption in the name. So for that, for those 16 rounds, you should rise early in the morning, just like we did here, chant before the sun comes up. Go deep into the mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Those beads are a meditation aid. Because every time you chant on the beads, those beads become more and more surcharged with bhakti, bhakti shakti. And when you get initiated, your Guru Maharaj will chant on your beads, and they'll get even more bhakti shakti, you see. So every time you chant, your more bhakti shakti is transferred into those beads. And that means just by touching those beads, you're getting bhakti shakti. So, the Prabhupada always says, chant 16 16 rounds around the beads, chant around the beads. To substitute other thing like clicker or just using my watch, you know, I figure I can do one round every 7.5 minutes, so I'll just chant without any beads or anything and just look at my watch now. The 16 rounds are meant to be counted on the beads. Then after that, you can chant all day long. Chanting is great. You can chant in the shower. You can chant, at the bus stop. You can chant wherever you are. Even when you're at work, you can be chanting softly to yourself, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. If your job allows that, it depends on the job, you see. For some jobs you may not be able to. You have to put a lot of intelligence into doing the work. And that's by offering that work to Krishna, that is also as good as chanting. If you offer your work to Krishna. So any other questions? Yeah.
What should be the average time for chanting 16 namas?
Oh, what should be the
average time for
the average? Oh, it depends on you. Prabhupada gives a standard thing of 2 hours. So that's a good rule of thumb. One should be able to complete 6. If one is taking more than 2 hours, you're probably a little spaced out. You can, if you focus your mind very nicely, then in 2 hours you can easily chant 16 rounds. If one is very practiced, he's been chanting for many years. Prabhupada said when it's possible to chant around in 5 minutes also, which is an hour and 20 minutes. By practice, you become more expert at it. With time, one can chant in less than 2 hours, also an hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes, one can finish 16 rounds. But the key is that every syllable should be clearly uttered and heard. That's the key. So don't worry so much about the time. Just absorb yourself in hearing and chanting the name. That's the most important thing. But if you're doing that nicely, then 2 hours, you should be able to be completed in 2 hours. And if you're not, you should see if you can intensify your meditation a little bit more. You might be trying to think of other things at the same time that you're chanting, for example. What I'm going to do later on in the day, or when is prasadam, or something like that. We should lay aside all of the thoughts. Yato yato nishchalati manaschanchalamashtaram. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Any other questions? Yeah.
When you say chant 16 hours, people chant very fast. But at the time, sometimes we may not pronounce the word properly. Is it happening to you or not?
Yeah, you should be observing. Oh, I'm mispronouncing the name. Then getting an emergency. If we're mispronouncing, we're getting off the track. It's like a train going off the track, getting derailed. So that means you just gotta focus your mind and bring the pronunciation back. Prabhupada used to make fun of sometimes by the way we would chant nish nish ram ram nish nish ram ram. So if you see you should observe your own chanting. You should chant and hear. So you should, as soon as you see that you're mispronouncing, then you have to correct yourself. Start pronouncing correctly again. You're meant to monitor your own chanting, not that, I have a two-track mind. I'll put my like a stereo mind. I'll put my job over here on this track, and over here I'll think about my job or, what I'm going to do this weekend. Have that going on here, but try to do the rounds over at the same time. No, we don't want stereo mind during japa. Mano, bring it all to one track. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Have full faith that everything is in the name. Everything I could ever need, everything I could ever want or desire or require or whatever, it's all there in the name. I'm thinking, well, I have to get I got laid off, I got to find a new job, and I have anxiety about it. But every job in existence is right there in the name. All the way from the topmost position, Brahma, he has the topmost position in the universe. All the way from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, every position exists within the name. Everything is within the name. So everything you could want, everything you could ever need, it's whatever money, whatever power, whatever position you may think you want or need, everything is in the name. So if you just take shelter of the name, you achieve everything. And you're not in want of anything. Ananyaschinte yantamang yejana paryupasate. Tesham nitchabiyuktanam yogachayamam baham yaham. Krishna says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion. And what does that mean during your japa? What does that mean during your japa? It means I put all of my attention, I exclusively focus on the name and leave everything else aside. So, our time has run out now. We'll keep on the schedule. And we thank you very much for your participation in this ecstatic retreat. And it's going to become sweeter and sweeter with each session. So make sure to come to every session so you don't miss out on the nectar. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.